Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Monday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is April 25th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm doing well. It's great to have you back. I'm happy I don't have to be the host anymore. I gotta move back off the ball.
I mean, we're co-hosts. I'm not a host. We're co-hosts. Neither of us are the official host.
Well, you keep the train on the tracks.
I don't know if that's the case. I think that's... It's rarely on the tracks, which is sort of the... I don't know how this thing goes. But I guess it's even more off the tracks when you're running point.
Well, I
solo.
I just didn't... You know, I had to do the schedule for the week last week and having to get all that
organized.
Pressure,
huh? You got to find where it is. You got to find a link. You have to look around for less than 5 minutes, find it. It's a daunting pressure.
It was a lot of work, and I'm happy that I don't have to do that this week.
I gotta listen back. How was the walk-up music? Was it good? Did you feel like it came off well? I gotta still listen. I've been totally unplugged.
I think it came off well, except I had some audio issues. The Airbnb I was at had just horrendous Wi-Fi. I mean, horrendous Wi-Fi. And it was causing some delays. It caused some audio problems. And so, you know, that made it challenging. But DJ Pi was a great co-host. I brought in some real talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, between Smartin,
actual podcaster.
Smartin and DJ Pi. Yep. You know, the thing about DJ Pi, when I opened up his audio, I was like, oh, it's perfect. Levels and everything. Yeah. And it's like, been doing this for 5 years. I still don't know the proper way to get my levels right. So,
well, that is what it is. It sounds the same to probably 98% of the world. It's those few sort of aficionados that might bother. But then
Smartin's talking about birdie rates and all this stuff, and you know, it just illuminated how much of a hack I really am.
Birdie rates and all this stuff. All right. Well, it's great to be back. As far as we know,
how was vacation?
It was fine. It was great. It was actually quite manageable. It was great.
Fine. It was manageable. That sounds like a glowing review.
Oh, it was good. It was good. Well, I mean, usually it's pretty hectic. It's more challenging than being at home because you're out of your comfort zone and you just don't have all the usual tools and tricks at your display with four kids. But it was great. I enjoyed it. I didn't play a lick of golf, which is apparently not something people do often when they go to Hilton Head. Not even play a single hole of golf. We played mini golf, but it was great. I really, really enjoyed it, and kids were manageable, and I'm happy to be back. As far as we know, you know, this is going to get us back on a regular, normal routine. We should be present and accounted for. I know April's been a little dodgy since the Masters, since you went on vacation before the Masters, and then I went on vacation, and then we had some, you know, intervening illnesses and all sorts of things. But hopefully we're back to somewhat normal schedules and hosting duties. I don't know.
Let me tell you something. I was driving with Will today, and Will was like, oh, we got the Mexico championship. I was like, what? Next week? And he's like, what? I was like, what is that? I didn't even know what it was, and it's a new tournament, and
yeah, it replaces the WGC Vedanta or Vedana,
and there's
like
just no nobody's playing.
Oh, really? Oh, can't be. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
This part of the schedule, this might be the worst part of the PGA Tour schedule. It might be worse than the fall.
I've always contended it gets real bleak between the Masters and it used to be the US Open. Now it's the PGA, it's even more compact, so you're probably less apt to play more than once between the majors. I mean, it used to be really Quail Hollow, and that's it. I don't know. RBC had a good field, though. Heritage had a pretty good field.
Well, after it's over. You got this thing. I mean, DJ brought up such a good point. I just laughed about. He was like, "This is a reminder that we shouldn't ask for anything as golf fans." Is that everybody wanted a team event?
Too many.
And we got this team event, and it just is total shit. It's just a terrible event.
I had people like at my kid's baseball game today who casually follow golf, don't care, like, oh, everybody's real fired up for the Zurich, like ripping on it, you know, making fun. Not like people like us, a DJ, who are kind of worn down by the week to week of like, what can you do to make some tournament pop? But like people who would be, you know, keen to kind of drop in on an event that's a two man just dogging it. But you know what? It works for Xander Schauffele. The king of just sort of sneak it in, padding the resume, a bunch of top fives and top tens, rarely the wins, pads the resume, limited fields, now two-man events he's throwing his hat in the ring on.
Okay,
gold medal games with the field that's garbage.
He won an event with Cantlay. It's not his fault that the tour acts like this is like a regular win. The tour has created this situation. They act like it's like a normal win. They're out there tooting, oh, add another win to these guys' totals. You know, they give 500 FedEx Cup points, and they do that just because Zurich is a big sponsor, and they don't want to say that their event shit and that it shouldn't exist by docking at FedEx Cup points, exemptions, and not giving it an official win. I was doing a big exercise on... because Shane Bacon had me on his podcast, and we did this like top 10 players of the last 10 years. And I created this point system. And one of the things I had to be very diligent about was making sure that nobody snuck in with a Zurich win that didn't deserve a win, and also a net championship win. That was, it made it hard because of these bullshit wins. The other thing. I was deeming events like elevated events, like better than regular tour event. And then I did Tiger from 98 to 08, and I had to have a different elevated events, like the Motorola Western Open, all of a sudden elevated event. That's getting more credit.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into it. The Greenbrier Classic, which, you know, it no longer became a military tribute. And then just went kaput. The Tour Championship, 30 guys. WGC HSBC champions, the weakest WGC of them all, and a WGC, you know, 65 guys. A Century Tournament of Champions, 35 guys. This is it, and now two-man. He's not one. He's gold medals mixed in there, but again, like that was a small field, limited field with a lot of
can I push back?
Strong players. What?
Can I push back on you?
What? He was bad today. He got carried across the finish line. Cantlay carried his ass. He missed two bad putts, I think 9-10, their first bogey. He's put him in a terrible shit spot on 17. Cantlay hits an all-world chip to put it 2 feet, 2 inches. 18 literally has to put a sacrifice bunt down. That's all he's got to do. Cantlay's the one that's got to drive. You know, we saw Louis bomb one into the water on 18 last year. Cantlay, of course, has Lux out there. All he does is literally a three-shot lead. He puts a sack bunt down, just moves it up the fairway, and Cantlay does the work from there. No pressure on him. Cantlay hit like a 7-wood to like 4 feet for an eagle. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pop Xander. It's just like, this is a Gonzaga situation for me. You won a West Coast Conference tourney. Again, it does more harm than good winning this, because it's like, show me something now again in like a real event. Am I being too harsh? What do you have a defense?
I'm going to push back. He's in effectively like 5 years as a PGA Tour pro. He has 6 top fives in majors.
The major chart looks sexy on Wikipedia. I don't see a win.
You know how many top fives in majors like JT has in 9 years?
How many?
He's got 2.
Yeah.
And a win. He's got a win, but he's got 2 other top fives. Not a lot.
Championship talent, Xander. He is.
Yeah.
I'm just
pushing back. Also, here's another thing.
There's a friend of the program who calls him a house cat. I don't know if he wants to be named by name. great writer, friend of the program, calls him a house cat. I think that's a perfect term. Go ahead.
Here's the other thing I'm going to say, is that Xander Schauffele was not this can't-miss all-world talent. This is not the next big thing. He was never deemed that. He was a sleeper. He was a guy that barely got his card from the Corn Ferry Tour, but if you looked at stats, you saw they made a shitload of birdies, and you thought, oh. And then he burst on the scene at a U.S. Open and finished top five at a U.S. Open, in a U.S. Open that he qualified for from a local qualifying.
Yeah,
I think maybe he might have been sectional. He might have been. I don't know exactly. But like, you're talking about a guy who has never been hyped as this next big thing, who is, for the most part, a self-made guy. And I just think that you can't be harsh on him, because there were never grand major championship expectations for him until he was all of a sudden 25 years old and in the top 10 in the world rankings because of exemplary play and always being an under the radar type talent. And for that, I think Xander deserves a little bit more of a pass. In his resume, while he's won those events, other guys didn't win those events. And I think that
well, you were hitting Spieth last week for this. For winning,
Spieth and Xander are completely different planets here. We're talking about a guy, like, having just done this exercise with Shane. We're talking about a guy with Xander who might, you know, realistically, he might end up being in the discussion of like the 10th best player of a decade. He's never going to be one of the five best players of a generation. That's just a reality.
Yeah.
He's been extraordinarily good in major championships, although I will say it's starting to look like maybe it was, you know, he just played really well. He got on a heater and he played really well because he hasn't been that good in majors the last couple around.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, I'm not trying to like crush him. He seems like a good guy, not like somebody you should be rooting against in any way. It's just a remarkable quirk of the resume that it's all these like 35 man fields, and I think it's like Gonzaga. Like, you win another West Coast Conference tournament, and that takes real skill and talent, and you're dominant in that regard. It's like, it's almost like a win that makes you ask more, like, than if you hadn't won at all. Like, show me more.
You know how many top fives and majors Ricky Fowler has in the last 10 years?
Ricky's always
the
punching bag comparison.
I want to point something out. Do you know
top fives he's had in how many years? Forever?
In the last 10 years.
Well, he had four in 2014 alone, all four. I don't know. How many? Like eight?
Seven. Xander has six. Xander's only played since 2016, I think, or 2017. 5 years.
US Open was his
less
first.
Than five years. He's accumulated almost as many top fives as this great major player, Ricky Fowler.
Oh, what's that? Who's arguing? That's a strong man.
He's such a major championship specialist. That was the terminology for Ricky Fowler 4 years ago. Major championship specialist. Just going to be a matter of time until he gets one. Xander has one more. He's already in 5 years amassed a better career, in 5 years than Ricky Fowler has in his entire career. So this is my pushback on you calling Xander a house cat.
Wait, I think he is to have a better career. Maybe. I don't know. I guess he doesn't have the players.
He doesn't have the only thing that Ricky has is the players over him.
Anyways, I didn't mean this to become a referendum on Xander. I didn't think he played great today, but they won. Go ahead.
To me, that is the thing. He's doing a lot of stuff.
He's present.
He's just not winning. If he wins a major this year, how does your opinion change?
It changes. Yeah, significantly.
If he wins, let's just say he wins two playoff events this year. Not the tour championship. God. The other thing, he won another tour championship. He won a shadow leaderboard.
He did win a shadow board. That's not been accounted. That and the Olympics thing. They kept doing, like, he hasn't won a tour event in 1,000 days or whatever.
Yeah, what was up with that?
They kept saying
the guy
that
won
the
fucking Olympics last year, and they're acting like he hasn't won something in
2 years or whatever it was. Yeah, yeah. 3 years, I think. I will say, Porter, I want to give him full credit. He said this. I don't know if he tweeted this or shared it publicly. He sent it on a text chain. I'm on. He's going to play in 6 straight Kapalua's with 2 wins. It's kind of remarkable.
What do you mean? Like, he won the Olympics. He won the Shadow.
I mean, 2 tour
Here's
wins.
The thing. He won,
that's what I was saying.
He won the Gross Championship at the Tour Championship last year.
Is it 6? No, 6
or 2 years
in
ago.
A row with 2 wins. I don't know if that makes sense. I may be misstating that for Porter. But anyways, do you have anything other thoughts on the Zurich? Sense. Billy Boy making a run for it?
How about Billy Boy taking a bad drop?
I don't know if it was a bad drop. All I'm saying, it was up in the air. There's a television. There's your play partners and Jay Day, who's just like, oh, I don't know, mate. Your partner and Sam Burns. And you have the town crier, the one who proclaims it so. If there's any doubt, he comes in, he rings the bell, and he makes it. Like, that wasn't getting out-proclaimed. He wasn't getting on that one when it was up in the air. I don't know that it was bad. It was inconclusive. So,
can we talk? You want to talk about Billy Boy?
They made
a
push at it. Yeah.
What? I have to. Pert Rooster Roy 88 on Twitter caught this. Caught the
Rooster Roy. Okay.
Caught Billy talking after the round. I think this was on Saturday, maybe Friday. It might have been Friday or Saturday. Billy, 1 year after talking about how TPC Louisiana wasn't designed for the wind.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Is in the press conference saying, you know, I wouldn't mind if it blew a little tomorrow, if we got some wind.
Much, you're gonna be on the record contradicting yourself when you're out there having to talk and be the voice for everything.
Last year, complaining about the golf course, saying it's not designed for wind. 1 year later, saying he hopes it blows.
I have to throw another Billy Boy quote out there. This comes courtesy of DJ Pajowski, for our guest on Friday. I guess this is the transcript Saturday night. I'm sure they'll talk about it on the No Laid Up podcast. Listen to that, too, because it's an incredible quote. He said something, of course I listened to Garth Brooks. Of course I listened to Garth, but I've never heard the song Call Him Baton Rouge. Billy Horschel said that. What?
How can you say that?
How is that possible?
How can you say, of course I listened to Garth Brooks and not...
I've never heard the song. Sam Burns must have had that as a walk-up music or something, is my assumption. Of course I listened to Tupac, but I've never heard California Love. Of course, who would say that? What does he mean? He listens to Garth. He heard Friends in Low Places at a wedding once or twice. Like, what does that mean? What a quote! Never heard Colin Baton Rouge. Billy Horschel, just an unbelievable. Do you have anything else on the Zurich?
Yeah, how about the new PXG commercial? Warning, smoking this driver is addictive, baby.
A new PXG commercial. I can't wait to see it. It was nice. Masters Week was such a nice reprieve from all that. But you know, we're back in the throes of it. Smoking this driver.
Warning, smoking this driver. Is addictive.
I mean, is that like smoking warnings? It's not even like a thing. That's like an early 2000s like riff on like a cultural moment of the early 2000s. Like, come on.
You know who I was disappointed with today?
Yeah.
I thought Scrivener would take a run and they just didn't have anything.
The Jason duo? Jason and Jason?
They found shallow waters.
They ran aground?
Yeah.
in Louisiana? Yeah, it wasn't a great... It was never close, right?
It's such a bad tournament.
One. I think got within one after Xander was kind of putting it all around there, two holes in a row.
You know what my favorite point in every tournament is?
What?
Is when Keegan Bradley putts out on 18 and I know that I never have to see him again for the rest of the tournament.
He got in the mix with Steely. He was a presence on the broadcast.
All right. What an absolute
drive-by to close that out.
We've talked for 15 minutes too long about the Zurich. So let's move on. I have a question to pose to you.
Can we do an ad read?
Yeah. I forgot to do the ad read on Friday. So let's do an ad read
for Club Champion. It's the official. It's our club fitter, the shotgun start, the fried egg. The core message here, I'm told, is helping golfers of any skill level play better golf through custom fitted and custom built equipment. And I got a personal anecdote about any skill level. I went and got my fitting from my guy James at the Fairfax, Virginia location. Spent like 3.5 hours. James Ames. He says it is pronounced James Ames.
Zames.
The person in the bay next to me was so bad. I won't say man, woman, child, you know, animal. I won't say what. Was like, could not have been, I don't think was getting the ball in the air, was just smacking it all over the place. And they were so encouraging. They clearly seen people. I'm not suggesting I'm good or at all. But this person, like, I don't know that they'd swung a golf club very much. And they were really encouraging, figuring out how to, like, tailor that person's game or fit their clubs, how they can make them slightly better or slightly more competent. So I'll just say this. If you're not particularly good, I think they know they're experienced in seeing people that may not hit it the same distance and same spot every time, like myself, you know. Or if you're very good, they'll know how to get you precisely dialed in. I'll just tell you that they have a range and adaptability to work with people who maybe need some encouragement and figure out what might help them on the lower end of the scale. And of course, at the upper end, they can get you pretty well dialed. Everything's truly custom, data-driven. It's a tour-level fitting process. They have 50,000 hittable head-shaft combos in every store, 60-plus brands. This is what I loved about this one. This is no bullshit. This is my experience. I was very happy with it. They're not pushing any brand on you. And I won't say which one, but occasionally he would throw in like, you know what? There's a lot of ads for that one. I don't know that it's that good. They're not going to say, like, if it works for you, it works for you. But they're not selling you the ad.
Are you saying that they're not saying, warning, hitting this driver might be addictive or is addictive?
They weren't putting any clubs down. They were just not giving you the ad messaging bullshit line of like, yeah, no, just try whatever you want. So that's why we do this. This is why we did this with them, right? This is agnostic, right? It's not every commercial message that says we now have this head and this face and it's going to hit it nuclear, baby, this, that, and the other. They just want to get you whatever's right for you. And there's no kind of agenda.
What's the code? Is TFE or?
No, it's fried egg.
Fried egg.
You get 20% off your fitting cost with the purchase of a club. 20% off the fitting cost with the purchase of a club. Use the code fried egg.
All right. Can I pose a question?
Yeah.
Are we in a truly special time in golf where we're seeing a coming of age of one Pablo Larrazabal where he's heading straight for the George Costea zone?
What did he win the Handa? Spain, something or other. ISPS, yes. Handa.
The ISPS.
This thing that sponsors 20,000 tournaments a year across the globe. Larrazabal's on a heater. I mean, he's cleaning up with these garbage events. I mean, really weak events.
It seems like he's coming for Costea. He might have surpassed Costea.
He might have. You know, he was previously best known for, like, the bee attack in that pond, right? When there was a swarm of bees went after him, and he made some viral moment. He was, you know, hitting in his underwear or something. That was, like, his one moment of glory until now. But he's on a heater, I suppose.
Who do you think's younger, Costea or Larrazabal?
Larrazabal, I would guess.
No, he's 3 years older.
Really?
Larrathabal
is... So it's a late coming of age.
38. He's almost 39. Kadzia is 35.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, this is enough Larrathabal content for the week.
This is Larrathabal's latest start. T6 at the Saudi event. At the Ras Al Khaimah.
Russell Khaimah.
Russell Khaimah. T3. He won the My Golf Life Open at Pecanwood. Then he missed a cut at Stein City. But then he at Qatar, he was T5. And then he won this week. He's killing it.
In Spain.
He's got seven European Tour wins. Kadzia's got 5. But Kadzia's got 10. Yeah, worldwide wins.
You're cutting out that sunshine there. I mean, they can't, like, if Larrathabal's allowed to win in Spain this week, you can't cut out the sunshine tour for George.
Who do you think's got a better world golf ranking, like best in their career?
Ever?
Yeah.
Kadzia.
What do you think it is?
Kadzia's low?
Yeah.
Like 66.
41. He got down to 41.
Pretty good. Top 50
Larrathabal, his best is 53rd. Right now he's 68th.
Okay.
Larrathabal is going to be in some WGCs.
Oh, God. That's a real end around some of these events. Unbelievable. All right. Is that enough on the DP World Tour?
Yeah, that's it. That I just needed. Right. I feel like Larrathabal has always been a tier below the Kadzia zone, and now he's entered it. And they're duking it up.
Like, there's a whole Spanish cadre of guys that are in the Larrathabal, you know, Nacho Elvira, just guys who
Nacho Elvira is not even hold close. A candle to Larrathabal.
Elvira Quiroz.
Quiroz, he was at one point in the Kadzia zone.
There's a lot of guys that penetrate on the Euro Tour that might not do it.
Quiroz surpassed the Kadzia zone. I think he wasn't he a top 25 player at one point?
No, I don't think that's accurate. He has hitting it, like I said, he was millennial camp champ. You know, he was hitting it 400 yards and people went nuts. I don't know that the results were ever on par with the hype around the distance.
Let's see.
I'm not.
All right, best OWGR. I almost said
25,
this exact.
25? Come on. No,
21.
That's crazy. I don't remember that. What did he win? He couldn't have won anything.
All right. It was in 2010 to 2011. He won the Dubai Desert Classic. Got him to 21st.
That gets you a bunch of points earlier in the year.
He finished second at the Qatar Masters the week before. He finished sixth at the Players that year and fifth at the World Match Play, the Volvo World Match Play. He had a good year that year. And then he won Dubai at the end of the year. He finished the year 21st. At the end of his last tournament. He won Dubai. He won twice in Dubai.
Okay. On the women's tour, the LPGA, it's finishing up as we record this late Sunday night. They're on the West Coast.
It's a boat race.
NASA, Hadayoka, Wilshire looks really good. Really good. What is this, 18? They've got people around the green. Yeah, 18. NASA Hadayoka is 6 clear of Hannah Green as we record this at what is now the DIO Implant Los Angeles Open. The only LA Open still extant. But yeah, cruises. We had Jin Young Ko in contention. She's hitting out of a...
How about that?
Barranca?
Barranca. Well, so it used to be...
It's got the wall. It's not very rustic.
It used to be really a rough Barranca, but then LA, the city, installed that wall. It's a forced thing from the city. The city made them do that.
Okay.
So that's why it looks the way it looks.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Looks more like a concrete canal of some sort. But yeah, she kind of booted it coming in. What was it? Quintuple bogey or a quad?
Yeah. But then she made birdie on the next hole.
So she kind of booted that away. NASA Hadayoka is going to be your winner as we're
she played incredible. I mean, I don't think that Jin Young Ko had that disastrous 17th yesterday, but I don't think it really mattered how well Hadayoka was playing. It was just unbelievable. It was just fairways and greens, hot putter. Nobody had a chance. It was incredible. You on the back nine, you're kind of thinking, okay, she makes a couple bogeys, and she was just a machine, and she got herself into trouble. I did chuckle. She had a 5-shot lead, and she took she hit it into like this deep bunker on 14, and the announcers were like, there's no way she's going for the green. And they're like, what a bold play. It's like, if you can't play boldly when you have a 5-shot lead, when the fuck can you play bold?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Like, that's the absolute time to play boldly. Like, you got 5 shots. Like, okay, right. Like, you hit the Let's face and rip. It bounces back in, and then you chip out. Like, you can make a double. It's okay. Well, I'm leading by 5.
Xander decided to lay a bunt down on 18, up 3. I mean, he didn't do that. He just popped one out there. Anyways, she's 12th in the world. She's going to go up to 6th. Her best top ranking's been 6th. Like, been a really, really strong player at majors and elsewhere for the last few years. Nasa Hadayoka, winner of the LA Open. Event of the week? Was that the event of the week?
That was the event of the week.
Well, sure. Got to your heart.
Firm and windy week, and not surprising to see, you know, at a good course that it really separated the field.
And then last but not least, on the Champions Tour, we had the Club Corp Classic that was in... God, where was that? Dallas? Was that Las Colinas, I think it was?
Why are we talking about this?
Irving, Texas.
It popped on the TV the other day, and somebody I was with was like, wait, Tony Romo's playing in a senior tour event?
This guy, you know, I thought we were a society with laws and rules and regulations. The guy plays golf everywhere. He plays in elite amateur events. He plays in care.
The Sorenstam stuff needs to end. She can't be a celebrity. She's the greatest woman golfer of all time, and she's teeing it up as a celebrity. This is not
ridiculous.
This is
Romo's in everything. He's getting exemptions. We've never been that critical of his exemptions, Corn Ferry, even though he's never competitive, close to competitive. I guess he was scared the cut for a day, 18 holes, the cut line at the Safeway, I want to say it was. But he's playing PGA Tour events.
He didn't scare the cut there.
18 holes. Corn Ferry Tour events. He's playing in these elite amateur events and never gets, you know, exemptions to everything.
Hey, he won the 2010 Will County Am.
And
now,
but I'm talking about the Northeast Am. Didn't he show up to that and WD? He's got Skechers on his shirt, and now he's a celebrity. And he lost the playoff to Marty Fish, the celebrity playoff. Apparently, someone tweeted at me, it's like, classic Romo. He went for the green. He all he needed was just to like wedge it all the way up, and he went for the green and hit it in the water. Just a miscalculation. But Jason Grant tweeted that at me. Typical dumbass quarterback move from Romo. Pars or bogeys. He can only lose to an eagle.
This weekend I was with somebody that may or may not have a relative on the senior tour. Uh-oh. And they were taken aback when I just said, you know, the senior tour needs to just be dissolved. They were like, wait, what? And I'm like, well, yeah, you got Scott. I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, Stephen Elker and Scott Parel are out there dominating. Alex Chayka is winning majors, and they can't even compete. This is not the intention. And then I looked today, and Scott Parel and Stephen Elker are on a Sunday duel.
I did this. The playoff. Parel, Elker, and Sowers. 5 starts for Parel. PGA Tour, 5 starts in whatever how many years. 11,000 career earnings. Elker, 86 starts, 7 top 25s, 841,000 earnings. He's made $2 million in the last 2 years. 800 career. Sowers had like $4.6 million. He had 3 wins and 466 starts. 14 top 3s.
Standout.
And 466
standout
starts.
With 3 wins.
And that was your 3-man playoff. Can't be what the Champions Tour had in mind when they were created. By the way, did you see Club Corp Classic? Did you see they were rebranded? This is big news while I was on vacation, that they're now called Invited is the name of the company. Invited. Like that they're getting all fancy with it. This is Shackelford. I mean, like, you're a golf course management company. You're not some restaurant, clothing brand. You're not even a golf course. Like, if I was invited to join one of their courses, I'd have to think twice about this. Like, why is this a thing? What a stupid name. And this was the quote I saw Shackelford. Invited, this is our CEO. Invited is not just a name, it's everything we are. We are invited because from the golf courses to the tennis courts, from fine dining, we connect and create communities, attracting members. Like, is anybody going to think about this name and think about it at anything below, beyond a super surface level? They're going to say, oh, I work for Invited. It's an Invited course. And this is not some chapter of Faulkner or Infinite Jest where people stop and think about what it means. There's just going to be confusion, and they're going to promptly move on. Like, you needed some highfalutin or attempt at highfalutin name to rebrand your golf course management company. It's a corp. It's not apparel. It's not a brand. It's not a restaurant. It's a corp, and it's a corporation, and now it's just Invited. What a silly rebrand, but it looks like they're going for an IPO or some fancy.
You know, I don't really care.
Cash out. I know you don't. It's a ridiculous name.
Naming's a hard thing.
They were fine with Club Corp. It was fine. News. Greg Norman's going to play the Open. Says he's going to play the Open. If he's actually going to play the Open, doesn't seem likely.
He's trying to become relevant again. He thinks.
Do you think so? Open letters to the world, to Jay Monahan?
Surely you jest.
Making proclamations that he's going to play the Open?
He's opening himself up for just ridicule.
Did you watch the documentary? I haven't seen it yet.
I have it DVR'd. I haven't had the time to watch it yet.
Okay. I was just wondering if it was good.
I heard good reviews. I heard it was well done.
Okay.
I mean, it's 30 for 30. They do a good job.
Yeah. All right, I think that's it. He's just looking to make news, keep his name out there as they're floundering, maybe. All right, that's it. That's all I got for this Monday episode. Not a big fan. You want to talk more about the Club Corp rebrand, Invited? No. Naming your company Invited?
No.
All right, everyone enjoy your Mondays. We'll be back Wednesday to talk about the Mexico Open or the whatever it is, the Mexico Classic, Mexico Invitational that Andy didn't know existed until today.